This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tamassaka bi sunnati ila yawmi deen amma ba'd. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, in our journey of gems of guidance, whereby we'll be discussing the prophetic traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So far in the previous three hadith, we mentioned some fundamental principles of Islam or teachings of Islam. And these teachings in general are for every single Muslim, and there's no exceptions towards these teachings, what we need to carry out. That brings us to today's hadith, which I speaks about that there's something that all of us that we share, is that all of us are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And via being the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are certain rules and regulations by default that befall all of us that we need to carry out to show our obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith in general begins to speak about the creation of the human being, how the human being is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the placement of the human being inside the womb of the mother. Inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi 40 yawman. Indeed, one of you is brought together in the womb or the stomach of his mother for 40 days. Thumma yakunu 'alaqatan mithla dhalik. Then he becomes a piece of cloth for a similar period of 40 days. Thumma yakunu mudghatan mithla dhalik. Then he becomes a chewed piece of flesh for a similar period of time. Now this pattern of discussion that we find is mentioned also inside the Quran, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the various formats or the various levels of the creation of the human being. But before that, we find that in this hadith it mentions that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he mentions that this is what he heard from As-Sadiq al-Musduq. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a famous companion amongst the most famous individuals to make tafsir of the Quran, and likewise known as a great jurist of understanding of Islamic sciences. And we find that he mentioned these words, that he is the truthful one, the one who is to be believed in, and the words that he says are true. Why did he make such a statement when the companions know that the Prophet ﷺ is a truthful individual and one who is to be believed in? And some of the ulama have given a reason for this. Amongst them, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi mentions, and likewise other ulama explain this collection of 40 hadith, that the reason being, possible reason being, that here he's speaking about something of the unseen. And obviously it's to speak of knowledge of the unseen, or to speak about the creation of the human being and how the human being evolves, or how the human being changes and becomes a complete human being. So we find in this hadith why the title of As-Sadiq al-Musduq is given to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is because he is narrating something which is of the unseen, which may be something not comprehensible to the Bedouin Arabs at that time. So lest they pose the question that maybe this is some form of myth or fable or tale or something that he's exaggerating, he presents the hadith by mentioning that this is something which is delivered from the truthful one. And we know that the title As-Sadiq was given, or Siddiq was given, to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam prior to prophethood, that he was known as As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the truthful one, and the trustworthy one was a title that was placed upon the Prophet alayhi salatu salam before even revelation. And they knew that he was not one to tell lies or invent stories or to fabricate to impress the people. And that's the Quran itself, it mentions, وَمَا يَمْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. In the beginning of Surah Al-Najm that we find, the 53rd chapter of the Quran, he speaks, وَمَا يَمْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Whatever he speaks is not from his own desires or from his own speech. Everything that he utters in terms of divine revelation or words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is delivering this message to mankind. So thus we find that the truthful words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam remain for throughout time. One shouldn't fall into an element that these words are no longer applicable, or some words that can be questioned about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Anything he mentioned about affairs of the unseen or affairs in relation towards our deen, towards al-Islam, if they have not been discovered at that time or discovered today, they remain true. They may be discovered at a later stage. Person believes in the authenticity of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and does not wait for science or other people to testify to his words, the truthfulness of his words. Inside the Quran, as we mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these various stages of the human being. Amongst these passages inside the Quran that we find is inside the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd chapter of the Quran, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses mankind by making the statement, يَا يُلَّذِينَ يَا يُلْنَاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. O mankind, if you are in doubt regarding your creation or your resurrection or bringing you forth, فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. Indeed, we created you from the dust, from the earth, ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَ, then from the semen, ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَ, then from the clot, ثُمَّ مِنْ مُدْغَ مُخَلَّقَ, then we created you from the formed piece of flesh, chewed flesh, وغير مخلقة, and that which is unformed. And some of the ulama tafsir, they mention the formed becomes the one whereby the soul is blown in or it begins to carry on living, and the unformed is the one which is deformed or the one that can be dropped or does not fulfill its time period. لَيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءَ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. We may then begin to explain to you the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the way that He creates human beings. And then we place this individual or this child before it's born in the fetus of the mother, ila, until an appointed time. Likewise, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also described inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, another place describing the 23rd chapter of the Quran, the creation of the human being, how the human being is created, or the formats of the human being. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. Indeed, we created the human being from an extract of clay. This refers to the original creation of the human being, referring to Adam alayhi salam. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. Then we placed him, or the rest of the human being, to be created from the water, from the liquid, and placed him inside the warm place of the womb, any of the mother. And then the ayat that begin to mention, then we enshroud him with flesh and with bones. فَأَنْشَأْنَهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Then we make him the complete format of a human being, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation of the human being. So we can say that this is to a certain degree a certain element of a scientific prophecy speaking about the development of the child in the womb of the mother for the first 40 days, then the following 40 days, then the following 40 days, a period of 4 months of 120 days, and after that the soul is born into the child. And as we find scientifically as well, it shows that these are the growing stages of the child in the womb and of the mother. So this is all nothing but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel. And here some of the ulama begin to discuss that whether it is any angel that comes, or is there a specific angel that comes for this task. And some have gone to the view that a specific angel comes, and the task of this angel is to blow the soul into this piece of flesh. فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ رُوحٍ. Then the soul is blown into this body. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And then 4 commandments are given regarding this child. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. 4 things, elements are written about this to be born child: is the person's provision, their time span, how long they're going to live for, وَعَمَلِهِ, his actions, and whether this person is going to be in a state of happiness or in a wretchedness in this world or inside the hereafter. And as some of them mentioned, السَّعَادَ قَبْلَ الْوِلَادَ, that happiness is before birth, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined what will take place for every single individual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned other places inside the Quran, وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. We created you in stages. Now here, strangely, some modernistic interpretations of the Qur'an, they try to make this is speaking about Darwin's theory, about the human being was evolves and becomes the perfect format as we know what his theory is. However, this is an incorrect interpretation of this verse of the Qur'an, and even the whole siyaq, the context of the verse, is all speaking about the human being and the beginning of the human being, etc. And here we find وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا is speaking about the stages, as we mentioned from those passages from Surah Al-Hajj and Surah Al-Mu'minun and this hadith as well. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. In the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, He is the one who forms you, gives you that depiction, gives you that image, here referring to the creation of the human being, fil arhami kayfa yasha, He molds you however He wants inside the womb of the mother, is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَّرَكُمْ. He is the one who makes your format, makes your images, makes you as human beings, and He has beautified or perfected the image or the human being. Like thus we find another place in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Indeed, we've created the human being in the best mold, in the best structure. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives reference to this creation of He subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the ultimate or the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the human being. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Isra, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Indeed, we have given nobility, rank and honor and dignity to the children of Adam. We take them over the land and the ocean, and we've given the children of Adam, or the sons of Adam, a marked preference over everything else that we've created. That is the marked preference that's given to human beings, because the human being is the ultimate species or the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus mankind is addressed inside the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, addresses mankind, not the believers or the disbelievers. He addresses human beings. He says, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem, alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak. Allah says to the human being, O mankind, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What has deceived you from not turning to the most noble one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that keeps you away from focusing and turning towards and recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a logical argument towards the human being. الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَصَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. The one that created you and perfected you and gave you the mold and the structure and gave you the format as a human being. فِي أَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Whatever format Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes for that human being, creates you and places you. However, we find that many of us fail to recognize the Creator and see that these are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that the human being has been created. To such a degree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And even in your own selves, the creation of your own selves, this is something for you to visualize, to see, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. He is one that created you, all of us, and unfortunately, there's going to be amongst us those who are believers and those who are disbelievers. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah is all-seeing and all-knowing regarding what we do. So all of us, as we mentioned, share the same element of being human beings, being the children of Adam, being the sons of Adam, being the human race. But the preference comes for each individual, or how one individual becomes better than another individual is via their obedience, or prior to that, their recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who submits becomes or is given more honor and dignity, firstly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that dignity begins to spill over to the angels till eventually is placed down upon the earth. The hadith then mentions regarding carrying out actions for the human being. فَوَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غير إن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة. By him in whose hand is my soul, one of you begins to do the actions of the people of Jannah. حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع. Person begins to do so much of the actions of Jannah that between that person and between paradise is only an arm's span, an arm's length. And here this is an Arabic terminology. It doesn't mean that physically your foot span or hand span away from paradise. It's a form of speech inside the Arabic language that the person is as if they have the right to enter into paradise or they're very close of being entered into paradise. However, we find that this individual, that this effort or that they exert themselves, they don't make it to paradise. Or prior to that, we find some people may pose the question that if each one of us is destined to go to paradise, then what is the point in carrying out actions? If I'm destined to go to the hellfire, then there's no point in me changing or there's no point in me doing different actions. So this is something that even the companions, they pose to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that what is the, if every individual has been destined and the final destination has been place for that individual, then what is the need for carrying out or doing actions upon the face of this earth? قَالَ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ أَوْ لِمَا يُسِّرَ لَهُ. Every individual will do whatever that individual has been created for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for that individual to do the actions, whatever that individual or that path that individual is heading towards. So in general, if a person is doing good deeds, then this is a good sign that this is a tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this person to do good deeds, to be heading towards the path of paradise. And if a person, may Allah forbid, is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this in general is a bad sign or a sign for that individual that they are heading towards the doom, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's in the Quran mentioned, فَسُنُ يَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will simplify, make easy the path of ease of doing good deeds for the individual. And the same surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the opposite, فَسُنُ يَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. We will make it hard and difficult for the individual, the path, meaning they'll carry on remaining in the path of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, people may pose the question that is it fair that a person is doomed to the hellfire or a person is given paradise? And people begin, as we mentioned previously, begin to ask questions or they begin to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we need to bear in mind, there's a principle mentioned inside the Quran that we need to understand, or a verse inside the Quran, لا يسألوا عما يفعلوا وهم يسألون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never ever be questioned about what he does. Rather, we or they will be questioned, asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one has a right to ask the Creator, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that why is such and such individual being destined to paradise, or why is such and such individual being destined to the hellfire. And this doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to oppress his servants or oppress any individual. Every individual, according to their own choice, will make that choice and head towards that path of obedience or disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the hadith that mentions that the person is doing the actions of people of paradise, but towards the end of his life, or they change and become the people of the hellfire. How is it possible a person who spends 20, 30 years, 40 years of their life obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sends them to the hellfire? Various explanations have been given of this hadith and combining of other hadith. We find such wordings as فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ, that which begins to seem apparent to people that this is a person of paradise. But as we began with, the inner intent could be corrupt. And that's some of the ulama of hadith have mentioned. This hadith is speaking about, or the reason this hadith is speaking about, an individual who, in face value, who just died as a martyr. So the companions began to praise this individual. But rather the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, بَلْ هُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, he's amongst the people of hellfire. The companions were startled that how can the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mention this individual or condemn this individual to the hellfire, because apparently he's a person who's doing actions which are noble actions. But we find the core inner element of corruption with this individual, and some other narrations mention that the person eventually takes his own life or cannot bear the pain of the wound that he's facing. We find that also that the change from good to evil is something very, very rare. The normal change that takes place for the human being is min ash-sharri ila al-khair. That's a normal procedure, that a person will move away from bad deeds and come towards goodness is the normal norm or the format that we find. On those rare occasions where a person moves from good deeds to bad deeds, as we mentioned, there could be an inner element that exists within this individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now destines that individual to be taken in a state of disobedience. Amongst those reasons we find there could be an ailment, a sickness inside their heart. As we mentioned previously, that they are only obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the environment around them. But when they're given the opportunity to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they fall into that trap or into that desire that they had within themselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes their life whilst disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, what we can learn from this hadith is a concept of being fearful about our ending. Because some of these hadith, they mention the wording, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ عَلَى الْخَوَاتِيمِ, that indeed actions are to be judged according to their ending. That's why ulama mentioned, always look at the end of an individual and don't look at the beginning of the individual or in the middle of the individual. Look at the end of the individual, of what they passed away upon. And that's a golden rule, that people who've left this dunya, a person should be very careful to speak about them, unless they're speaking on a knowledge basis about certain knowledge mistakes they may have made. A person can present them inside society. But other than that, a person should be very vigilant about speaking about the dead individual, because that could be a form of backbiting about them and losing one's own good deeds and becoming a loser on the Day of Judgment, speaking ill of other individuals. So this sickness inside the heart that exists within the individual, and this could be any one of us, that a person should not become full of themselves, that they are free from sin. The Prophet ﷺ, he even warned his own companions to not place themselves inside an environment which is questionable. Some of these ahadith, they are weak in nature. We find such wordings, just paraphrasing the hadith, that the person can only blame themselves of placing themselves inside an environment which is blameworthy. So if a person surrounds himself with something which is haram, or places themselves inside the haram, they should not expect people to think well of them if the person is continuously found in such an environment. If it's a rare occasion whereby a person may have to walk through an haram environment, for example, a pub or something of such a nature, person needs to walk through there, then person should think well of that individual. But if a person is continuously caught or seen in an environment which is not pleasing, which is not something praiseworthy, then how can a person think well of that individual, that maybe give this individual an excuse for this individual? Rather, this could open up the doors for the individual to fall into sins if they place themselves inside such an environment of temptation. And thus we find that Yusuf alayhi salam, when he's placed inside that environment, even though he's free from any blemish, from any sin, but we find that some element, some ulama tafaseer, they mention that some element of a feeling may have developed inside the mind or in the heart of Yusuf alayhi salam, being a young individual he was. But if it had not been the evidence that he saw, then he could have fallen prey like any other human being. But as we know that all of the prophets, they are infallible, they don't make any form of kabair, major sins, and nothing of any sin can be attributed to any of the prophets. But here we find that what we can learn from this is the human nature, that the human nature of the human being, the heart of the human being, can sway at any time, that if they're exposed to something which is sinful or disobedient, they could go towards that. And may Allah forbid that the person, their life could be taken, and that could be classified as su'ul khatima, a bad ending. So as we mentioned, there could be some core inner element of sickness or corruption inside the heart of the individual that plays on their mind, plays on their heart, till eventually they begin to do an evil action. And may Allah forbid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them whilst carrying out that bad action or that evil action. Also, we find that from this hadith that we learn, one shouldn't overjudge people, overpraise people. The inner affairs should be left with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In general, the principle is that we take people ala dhahirihim, upon their face value, upon their words and their speech and the etiquettes that they have, we take them upon that. And also we should be very careful at the same time that many of us become very judgmental, that if a person does make a mistake, that we begin to attribute slogans and titles towards them. We find them in such a hadith mentioned, either haditha, if the person haditha kadhiba, if the person speaks in their life, a person's trust with something, they don't fulfill their trust. The key word here is either, which is istimrar, it becomes continuous nature. So once in a while we could not meet someone at the right time, fail to not fulfill the promise, not carry out what we're told to do. That doesn't mean that the person now becomes a hypocrite or be given that title. Here it becomes habitual, that on a regular basis the person is not trustworthy or breaks their promises on a regular basis. So that is a symbol of hypocrisy for that individual. And as we mentioned, the golden rule is anything that's mentioned inside the hadith, one should not try to apply that to another individual. Even if such harsh words are mentioned, sabab al-Muslim, kufr, to curse and revile a Muslim is kufr, disbelief. So if a person swears or says something, a person shouldn't go and say to another individual, you are now a kafir or you're a disbelieving individual. Such words should not be used upon another Muslim. A person should be vigilant about taking slogans and titles and placing them upon other individuals. Rather, a person should show some element of trying to encourage an individual to remove themselves from that sin or disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, the context of this hadith, as some of the ulama of hadith have mentioned, is referring to an individual who on face value seemed to be a praiseworthy individual who was fighting and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there was an inner element within that individual that this person was not being in that full element of sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the person should be always worried about the iman that they're taking from this dunya, or death comes to them and they're not in a state of iman. Thus we find amongst the most excessive supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would make is Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O one who controls the heart, make my heart to be firm upon your deen and obedience towards you. Another hadith that we find, Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qalbi ala ta'atik. One who changes the format of the hearts, change my heart, divert my heart towards your obedience, in fulfilling obedience towards you. So we find also inside the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Do not deviate our hearts after you have guided us. So a person is always excessively asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah, for steadfastness, and asking for a good ending when they leave this world in a state of obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that various stories are mentioned about individuals who lost their iman towards the end. And obviously we should highlight here, these are stories, they can be accepted or they can be rejected, but there's a moral fiber inside them that some of the historians and collectors of Islamic history have placed these stories for quite possibly a benefit for us to look at these stories and to begin to remind ourselves, because the human nature needs various formats of reminder from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from spiritual experiences, from real life examples to strengthen their iman and their faith. So Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, he mentions about an individual who was the Mu'adhin at that time. And whilst he climbed the minbar, or he climbed a lofty place and began to give the call to prayer, his eyes fell on a young lady, on a beautiful woman. And that distracted him from giving the adhan or completing the adhan. For us, maybe it may sound something extreme or something, you know, that's not possible. But this is, as we know, that Islamic sciences and texts, that they warn us about certain instances about the glance, as we find in some narrations, that indeed the glance is from amongst one of the poison arrows of shaitan, of the devil. Even though this hadith is not authentic, and some have accepted its authenticity, but the meaning is there, that the glance, can derail the individual. And this is all based upon the ayat, the verses inside the Quran, inside Surah An-Nur, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes, to lower their eyesight. And then it mentions to the believing women as well, because the glance could lead on to other temptations and feelings within the individual. However, what is also definitely authentic is whereby the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَكَ الثَّانِيَةَ, that maybe you may have the first sudden glance that may appear of something which is not acceptable, but you don't have any right to continue that glance to look at something which is forbidden. So this Mu'addin, his eyes fell upon this young lady, and then he stopped giving the adhan or did not complete the adhan, and then he presented himself to marry this young lady. And she said that, you know that I am the daughter of the local priest and my faith is Christianity, and so if you want to marry me, then you will need to abandon your faith and you'll need to enter into Christianity to marry me. And this individual, he gave up his faith of Islam, and then he married this lady, or he became a Christian and he married this lady to fulfill the lust or the desire that may have entered within him. As we mentioned, these are a story that exists there. Person could accept it or person could reject them, but the moral fiber is there that a person could, may Allah forbid, end up falling into some sin and falling into a su'ul khatima, an evil ending. Another famous story that I'm sure that many of us have come across is the story of the famous Abid, the famous worshipper Barsisa, that you find that this was a famous worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was tempted or he was known to be a righteous, a pious individual, and you find that the certain individuals inside the village, as they were travelling out, they went to perform jihad at that time, they had to leave their daughter behind, and entrusted the sister under the protection of Barsisa, and told him that your task is to take care of her. So obviously I'm sure that many of us are familiar with the story, and whereby that she would be living in a separate house, and then he would just come and place the food for her outside the house. And then after a short while, Shaitan whispered to him that, you know, maybe she's lonely, maybe you need to converse, or maybe to speak to her, ask her how she is. So then he would speak to her at the door. Then after a short while, Shaitan again aroused his emotions, feelings that maybe it's not good enough just to sit there and to speak to her, that you should go inside and sit with her and speak to her and make her feel comfortable, etc. So we find that Barsisa was tempted by the whisperings of Shaitan till eventually entered into the room with this strange woman, and then he carried out this evil action of fornication with her. And then they say that a child was born and he killed her, and he killed the child as well and buried them and denied that he killed the woman. But anyhow, the story, various versions of the story are given till eventually to rescue himself or to free himself. Shaitan comes to try to help him and tells him to prostrate in front of him, and then he eventually dies from being a worshipper to being the worshipper of his lust and his desires and a worshipper of Shaitan. But a key message that we can extract from this story is a lesson for possibly many of us and many of our youth around us about the temptations that they're surrounded by. That in general, as we mentioned, people, the inclination towards good is the general norm, but the environment around them could lead the individual, tempt the individual to begin to enter into a haram environment. And thus we find that many young people in today's climate want to live a good life, but the friendship or the comrades around them begin to incline them towards that they want to just try something or do something, till eventually they become addicted to many forms of evil that we find around us inside society, which they themselves cannot even imagine how it led to an addiction. And thus, as we mentioned many times, or the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the type of friends that we keep, al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi, a man is upon the way of life or the faith of whoever his friends are. So let each one of you select or see who his friends are, because eventually it will just be sitting with your friends, then you begin to imitate them, you begin to emulate them, you begin to carry out and do the same practices or the actions that they're doing. And as they say, one thing leads to another, till eventually the person becomes, may Allah forbid, a sinful individual, and may even pass away in a state of sin. And as ulama have mentioned, that a person who dies whilst doing a good deed is a good sign. A person who dies reading the Quran, performing the Hajj, reading as-salah, doing a good deed, will be resurrected upon that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the opposite, a person who dies, may Allah forbid, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be resurrected on the day of judgment, exposed at the sin that they were doing. So this is also a link to this hadith about the person maybe looking externally to be a righteous or a good individual, but they die in whilst carrying out evil action. Or a person could just be a normal individual who lives a life of sin and doesn't pay heed towards their life, and Allah, or they feel that they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they live a life of secret sins that no one knows about them. They could be resurrected in the day of judgment, exposed in front of the whole of creation, exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And as we mentioned, the whole aspect of this hadith, or the main format of this hadith, is to remind the human being about their creation, that we have been created from despicable liquid or water, the essence, the beginning of the human being, and then he becomes the supreme or the ultimate or the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That greatness of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of the human being, should lead towards them complying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recognizing that the real greatness belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the real human being. That is the format that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laying out inside the Quran and inside the Sunnah, the prophetic tradition of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. To this is the real evolving of the human being to become a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to recognize the beginning of our creation and the purpose of our creation, and to fulfill our role of creation upon this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.